Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for being with us this morning on our first annual Lay Sunday. For those of you who have not heard of this before, it's a chance for members of the congregation to take part in the service, and the pastor will be glad to sit out today in the congregation. And he will do the final benediction when the service is ended. If you would please let us know how you like or dislike the service, a session member or the minister will be glad to take your comments. There are a few announcements this morning. Please sign your red books and pass them along so that we have a record of your attendance. We have many donuts left over from this morning's Donut Deacon Fest, so please feel free to take some donuts with you after the service. They're over in the Christian Ed building. We're having a flea market on Saturday, so if you have any unwanted items in your home and want to donate them for the cause, we'll be glad to take them. Please let Anna know, and she'll be glad to take them off your hands. And anyone who has signed up for pictures to be in the directory and have appointments for today, please, this is just a gentle reminder. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn of praise is found on page 215, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Let us continue our worship with our prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being both our Savior and our Lord. We thank you for your grace to forgive and save us, even when our actions oppose your will on earth. Forgive us when we don't love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to not be tempted to love and seek like money, pleasure, and power before we seek your face. Forgive us when we don't love our neighbor and our enemy. Help us to forgive others' trespasses as you have forgiven ours. Help us to bring about your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for our own silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
If you believe in the forgiveness of sins, we are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
family of Glenshaw Valley, let us unite with others in our faith as we recite the traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come home to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's greet one another with God's love.
Beautiful. Thank you. Our responsive reading today is Obedience, and it's number 631 in the back of your hymnal. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. Is it not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us, to get it for us, and to help us hear it, that we may observe it?
Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us, to get it for us, and make us hear it, that we may observe it.
But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it
Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." But by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going. And at this time, Anna will come forward with our prayer and praise requests.
Good morning. I'd like to share the following prayer and praise requests. We have a prayer request from Kathy Sagi for Tom Brucker, who is back in the hospital after many complications. We pray for his healing. He's in Passavant. Sue Gill has asked for prayer for her friend Helen Noble, who has had a recent negative health test. We pray that she gets good news. Bill and Shawnee Mueller have asked for prayers for safe travels for Bill's daughter Mindy and her husband and son Braden as they travel back to Colorado this afternoon. And then on to the good stuff, the praise requests. Arlie has asked for praise for all the people who participated in the service today, thanking everyone for stepping forward to do this. Kathy Sagi has asked for praise for one of God's children for a random act of kindness. And John Kane has asked for a praise request for Mickey Schlesser. She said, thank you for your many talents and being ready to share them with us. We are so lucky to have you here. So that's a very good one. And obviously the people concur. So if we would bow our heads for a word of prayer for these requests and for many others. Dear Lord, we bring to you today prayer requests from your people, some that have been shared and others that are kept within our hearts. We know that you hold each and every one of us in your loving hands. We pray that we can accept what you have planned for us, even if that is not what we have asked for in our prayers. We know that you are always looking out for what is best for us. Let us always remember to trust you and accept what you have planned for us, even if it seems that our prayers have not been answered. Lord, we awoke last week with a sense of joy due to the celebration of your son's resurrection. Let us strive to find that sense of joy in every single day. Let us never forget to thank you for every day that you have given to us, because these are a gift and a renewed opportunity to serve you and help others. Let us never take for granted the amazing blessing that you provide to us with these gifts of life. With each new day, we are given a fresh opportunity to live the life that you have planned for us. Let us use each day to celebrate your gift of salvation and to live our lives as you would have us do. Let us join together now in reciting the prayer for your people. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The next thing is the hymn of preparation, which is a screen song today, Lord of the Dance. Please note that the choir will sing first, and then if you'll follow the instructions on the top of the screen, you'll know when to join in.
I'm Dear God, we thank you for providing us with the ultimate sacrifice, the gift of your Son and his life for our sins. We hope that you'll find our gifts pleasing in your sight, and you'll help us to remember that any gift we give is not too small to help in continuing your work here in Glenshaw Valley. Thank you for the many blessings that you have provided to us, and we say these things in your name. Amen.
This is from the book of Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, when are the kingdom of heaven? But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not foresee in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears those words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the steam rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the steam rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell down with a great crash.
You warned me. Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Please join me in a short prayer. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Can you remember when you made your profession of faith? Perhaps it was right here in this church. For me, it was at a Promise Keepers rally in Three Rivers Stadium. It was just after Billy Graham finished speaking on being a man of faith. He asked that everyone who wanted to affirm or reaffirm their faith in Jesus to come down onto the field. Even though I had considered myself a Christian my whole life, I felt compelled to go. On my knees in the grass, with tears in my eyes, I asked Jesus to truly change my heart and to become my Lord and Savior. For a while after that, I was confident in my salvation until I read today's scripture. I don't know about you, but for me, today's scripture was unsettling. Reading what Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This shook my confidence. Up to that point, I thought my salvation was a simple formula. Go to church, believe in God, repent of my sins, and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Then presto, I'd be saved. However, reading today's scripture, I feared that I had missed something. I envisioned that someday I would be standing before Jesus saying, but Jesus, I believed in you. I called you my Lord and Savior. I went to church most Sundays. I served as an elder and as a deacon. I tithed. I taught Sunday school. Then I imagined Jesus would say to me, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Since then I have come to understand that gaining salvation is more than simply saying the words, I believe in God, or claiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Claiming Jesus as your Lord of your life is committing your life to being obedient to His will. What is God's will? Some say it is God's will that this or that happened. Like, it is God's will that I became a missionary, or it is God's will that I didn't win the Powerball this year. In the context of salvation, however, His will is for us to believe in Jesus Christ, repent of our sin, live a holy life, and to love God and one another. It was the loving God part that I missed. It is true that God's will is for everyone to be righteous through the sin sacrifice of Jesus Christ and to receive salvation as a result of His grace. This is the good news of the gospel in the New Testament. But so too is God's will for us to love one another, even our enemies, with agape, God's agape love. It is the basis of God's commandments. Jesus affirmed this when he answered an expert in the law who asked, "Which is the greatest commandment?" In Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then he went on to say, "And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." But Jesus didn't stop there. In Matthew 5, 43 through 48, he said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward is that? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. For me, it was difficult to love everyone, especially those I considered my enemies. How can I love a person who hurts me, or a person who talks about me behind my back, or someone who murders innocent children?" However, Jesus made no exceptions. The answer is the difference between God's love and human love. In 11th grade, my English teacher gave the class the assignment to write a theme on an abstract concept like love. I, like most of the class, went to Webster's Dictionary for the definition. Webster describes love as an emotion or a feeling. It is an affection for someone arising out of kinship, common interest, or desire. Human love is self-centered. It depends on how we feel about the other person. As long as we feel good about what the other person does, we love them. However, as soon as that person does something that wrong or something that we don't think is right, we hate them. This is the kind of love is not enduring. It can be easily destroyed with a simple word. On the other hand, the way at the end of Webster's definition, he describes God's love as an unselfish and unconditional benevolent concern for the good of one another. An example of God's love is described in John 3, 16 through 17. "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We have not done anything that makes God feel good about us. In fact, we do just the opposite. We sin. We don't love one another all the time. But despite that, God still loves us all the time. The Greeks have a special word for God's love. They call it agape. Paul offers a wonderful description of agape love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." Throughout the Old Testament and the Gospels, God's commandments to us is to emulate Him in love for one another with agape love. Peter, John, and Paul continued to encourage us to agape love for one another in their epistles. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 22-23, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." It's amazing, I pushed the button and the page doesn't turn. In 1 John 4, 7-21, John encourages us to love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We love because first He loved us. Whoever claims to love God and hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Then Paul contrasts the fruits of the flesh with the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 19-23. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Jesus warned us that every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. These are just some examples taken from the epistles. I encourage you to search for the other examples of God's agape love in the Bible and model it in your daily walk with Jesus. Find for yourself how agape love manifests itself in true Christians through the uplifting of others who do wrong with prayer, forgiving others who wrong us, and honoring others at all times. For true Christians are known by their agape love. Christian hypocrites are recognized for their lack of agape love. Every time we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, we ask for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the fulfillment of this prayer when we act with agape's love for one another and forgive those who have wronged us as God has forgiven us. Jesus has called us not only to repent and receive salvation, but also to have a change of heart, to be born again. God sent us the Holy Spirit so that we can bear the good fruit of the Spirit and be known by the good fruit we produce, our agape love for everyone. This is God's will on earth. I'd like to take a second to end in prayer. Dear God, create in us an obedient heart that knows your will of loving one another, so that in the end, when we cry out, "Lord, Lord," you answer, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And all God's people said, "Amen."
I forgot my piece of paper. We're going to sing another hymn. They Will Know Us By Our Love, number 284.
Thinking about your eternal life. Go in the name of the Father.